The blockaders believe that this is an imminent threat to our collective future, to Texas land rights, to our common resources, our clean air, our water, our arable soil. So today, they're sending a message that they are going to resist construction as long as it takes until the Keystone XL pipeline project is terminated.
What is it about this particular stretch of the pipeline that has raised the issue for the people in Texas?
First of all, about 4 years ago, TransCanada came into Texas and Oklahoma and started unilaterally seizing private property, condemning land. Over 100 landowners along the pipeline route in Texas said they didn't want anything to do with the pipeline, but now they're being put directly in harm's way because Texas is allowing this multinational corporation to seize and condemn private property through eminent domain. TransCanada has never once authenticated a claim that their project has any public good or public interest. They have not disclosed what's in their pipe, what types of toxic chemicals, what types of diluents or chemical dilutants they're going to be using to water down their toxic tar sands. But nonetheless, Texas is granting them the entitlement to seize private property for their own private gain. The other main threat of resistance is the environmental destruction and the impact tar sands exploitation have on our collective future. The tar sands formation in Alberta is the largest pool of hydrocarbons outside of Saudi Arabia. And to access tar sands, you have to destroy the earth. The substance is caustic. It's like melted sandpaper being blasted at very high pressure, nearly 1,200 PSI. The process is untested. Our national regulators, the Pipeline Hazardous Material Safety Administration, has no regulations for tar sands. They don't even know what to do about it. In fact, currently they've contracted the National Academy of Sciences just to study how this stuff acts in a pipe because it's unknown. The tar sands pipelines that do exist in the world have a terrible track record. The first portion of the Keystone Pipeline project that went online 2 years ago has already leaked 12 times in the first 12 months. Furthermore, we just learned that same federal regulator, the Pipeline Hazardous Safety Material Administration, did a 10-year study on leak detection systems used by pipelines, and it turns out these pipeline companies only detect about 5% of leaks with their own equipment. Tar sands sink in water. It doesn't float. It has a higher specific gravity. So when this pipeline leaks, and it will, every pipeline leaks, this tar is going to sink right down into the groundwater, into the aquifers of Texas that are already drought-ridden, and jeopardize the water supply for tens of millions of Americans. So this whole project is a disaster waiting to happen. Folks understand that the exploitation going on in Canada is a violation of human rights. Indigenous communities are being poisoned. Their lands are being destroyed. And this is all a private for-profit venture. This is privately held mining and extraction companies shipping this product to Texas Gulf Coast refineries so that it can be sold on the global market to the highest bidder. Not once has TransCanada authenticated the claim that this product will be used in the United States. Not once have they authenticated or provided evidence that this will bolster our energy security. Quite to the contrary, the refiners in the Gulf Coast are bragging about being able to sell this stuff at a higher value to the developing world. So ultimately, this is a lose-lose situation for America and for landowners along the way whose property rights are being trampled and who are being treated with reckless disregard.
Many people may think that the Keystone XL pipeline project has been on hold. How is the tar sand oil getting into this pipeline for the portion from Oklahoma to the Gulf Coast?
That's a great question. The Keystone pipeline project is actually a four-phase project that's been ongoing for years. Phases one and two have already been completed. So there's already a tar sands pipeline, commonly referred to as Keystone One, that runs from Canada all the way down to Cushing, Oklahoma. The excuse that this southern leg of the Keystone XL pipeline needed to be built because there was a glut of crude in Cushing that had to get to market is because the Keystone One pipeline has been filling Cushing, Oklahoma with tar sands for over a year now. The Keystone XL is a larger pipe, It's an expansion project on the Keystone One, and it includes this Gulf Coast segment that will extend the reserves and the tanks in Cushing to our Gulf Coast refining sector. So there's already a tar sands pipeline flowing across the border from Canada right into the breadbasket of the United States. It takes a very different route than what the proposed Keystone XL pipeline route takes, which is why there was less controversy about the sensitive aquifers and sand hills that one bypasses largely. But nonetheless, it's just a much smaller pipe, much less capacity. Keystone XL is about as large of a pipeline that's ever been built, untested, unchecked, and simply dangerous.
Is construction of the leg from Cushing, Oklahoma to the Gulf Coast considered a sort of impetus to spur the construction of the pipeline from Canada?
That's exactly right. This has always been touted by industry and TransCanada itself as the southern leg, the Gulf Coast project for the Keystone XL larger project. The Gulf Coast segment is phase three. The northern segment is phase four of the entire Keystone pipeline four-phase project. So it is certainly the case that if the northern segment is not approved, the economic vitality of the southern segment to stand alone is questionable. TransCanada admits that itself. This is an egregious overreach. It's a violation of constitutionally protected rights. And there are countless landowners and local communities that have just been treated like collateral damage in this story.